This is The Chance to Fly, a Disney's Brave How to Train Your Dragon crossover fic, written by Ruby Nye and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated NC-17, contains the pairing Merida Ruffnut Thorsten, with additional tags for flight, first time, post movies.
When cold wind is a calling, and the sky is clear and bright, misty mountains sing and beckon, lead me out into the light. I will ride, I will fly, chase the wind and touch the sky. I will fly, chase the wind and touch the sky.
Straightening her spine against the chair back, Merida strives not to sigh. It's high summer, which means envoys, who mean long days at audience in the Great Hall, and thence, much boredom. But her mom asked to attend today's sessions, so upon her honor, Merida sits at attention and strives to appear awake. Each envoy in turn strides out, puffed up with the importance of his message, which is never anything half so interesting as riding Angus into the summer woods, the wind raking through her hair, sending arrows flying. Horned helmets. Merida blinks and focuses. One is a man as wide as her da, all trunk and beard, missing an arm and leg. Beside him stands a girl in breeches with three thick braids of straw-colored hair, a potato-shaped nose, and a wide grin. A roar like a pleased bear's rises in Merida's ears as the girl's grin widens, her head tilting invitingly.
"And my assistant, Ruffnut,"
Merida hears the man say as he points to the girl, who bows, never taking her eyes off Merida, who can't take her eyes off her. "And her strange beast, which,
let me see to its stabling."
Merida pops to her feet, startling her parents beside her. She stops herself with one foot forward and looks to her mom. Waiting to be properly dismissed is part of their deal. Her mom looks down at Ruffnut, then over at Da, who nods, and turns back to Merida with confused eyes, but a nod of her own. That's all she needs.
"Thank you, royal parents,"
Merida cries, as she skips down the steps towards Ruffnut's smile. The beast is beyond strange. It is fabulous. Pony-sized, lizard-scaly, and dog-friendly. Striped red and gold, steaming with the scent of hot metal. Its wings broader than Merida's height. And its breath puffs of flaming light. It rolls beneath Merida's hands, wriggling happily as she scratches its heated belly. And Ruffnut laughs scratchily beside them. "Emberflake's the biggest flame I've ever seen," she says proudly, tickling behind its spine-fringed ears. "Back home, my brother and I have a two-headed zippleback, but Emberflake journeys better, much less puking."
"You've more?"
Merida looks up to see if Ruffnut's teasing.
"We live with a whole colony of them."
Her bright grin is genuine.
"And the best part is..."
Ruffnut whistles, and Emberflake rolls into the air, flapping up a wind around their heads as it presents its back, just like a horse.
"We can ride her. Come on."
Ruffnut swings a leg over, holding out her hand.
And Merida knows how to ride.
Ruffnut's rough, strong fingers close on hers. Emberflake's back is pleasantly ridged and warm as sun-heated rock. And there's a great whirling of wind as she gathers and springs, and the ground falls away as they soar. Merida shrieks and grabs Ruffnut tightly around her ribs. Ruffnut laughs and flings her arms out to tease, clinging with just her legs as Emberflake bears them up into the sky. The castle and keep plummet to tiny gray circles in the green, and the forest is a flow of dark shadows, its trees tinier than embroidered stitches. The sky expands endlessly. They rush through limitless light-shot blue.
Emberflake roars a happy gout of orange flame,
and Roughnut tips her head back onto Merida's shoulder, her braids flapping round Merida's waist, and her frame firm and warm under Merida's hands as the wind pours over them. As they fly. Merida squeezes till Roughnut's ribs flex beneath her arms, digging her fingers into Roughnut's leather vest, and shrieks again for sheer, streaming joy. Roughnut huffs and grasps Merida's wrists, but doesn't pry her arms away. Instead, she shouts, "Ember, more!" And Emberflake flies the faster, between pearly flowing clouds and the golden burning sun, bearing them to the point of an invisible cliff. "Yeah!" Roughnut cries, clutching Merida's wrists as Merida clutches her, and they plummet, the wind buffeting them with a million rough kisses, a silver river unfurling between the swelling trees. Merida's belly lurches, but not badly. She laughs for defiant glee, and Roughnut's knees flex, reining in Emberflake an arm's length above the sheet of water, so daintily the surface barely ruffles. "What do you think?" Roughnut asks over her shoulder, grin tilted. Merida's head is so full of rushing wind and streaming light, she can only think of one word. "Again! Again! Up we go!" Roughnut shouts. Emberflake bellows. And Merida holds on. Merida and Roughnut stagger into the great hall at dusk, laughing and hanging on each other's arms. Emberflake waddles contentedly behind them, stuffed so full of salmon she could barely fly them home, and greets the hall with a snuffling burst of yellow flame. This proves to be a slight mistake. Some shrieking and running and a half-burned tapestry later, Merida and Roughnut have tugged Emberflake back outside by her collar, despite her excited curiosity and wing-beating protest. As they push her into the stone-walled birthing stall at the far end of the stable, Merida laughs, sweeping her hair back from her face to better see Roughnut's twinkling eyes. "She needs you with her?" she asks of Emberflake. "I can bring some blankets." "Oh, thanks." Roughnut flops, loose-limbed, down beside Emberflake, resting her head on her flank. "I was going to just sneak out after everyone's asleep. Gobber went on half the journey how I should behave and represent our village." It's the first time Merida has seen Roughnut frown. "But this is all unfamiliar. For her, I mean." And Merida knows enough to just nod. "She'll feel better if I stay with her. Thank you." "Aye, thank you," Merida answers. "For today? For the flight?" Petting Emberflake, Roughnut's eyelids flicker as she smiles. Merida eases open the midden door. The pre-dawn light is dim beneath clouds. This particular door is known to squeak, and she's still in yesterday's court gown, having fallen asleep beside Roughnut, her head pillowed on Emberflake's warm side. She yawns and smiles. The door lets a squeak, and she winces. "Easy, easy," she murmurs, as if to a horse, and the door quiets long enough for her to slip inside. The castle still sleeps. Merida goes a tiptoe by the kitchens, filches a sweet roll from yesterday's baking, then gathers three more as insurance. She almost takes a fifth for Roughnut, but she can't carry more just in her hands, and soon enough she'll go out to look about their guests as a hospitable lady should. But first, a wash and a fresh gown. Sure enough, by the royal chamber, she meets the triplets, on their way to steal an extra breakfast. As each brother makes to shout, Merida shoves a roll in his gob, then dashes between them and runs on tiptoes down to her room. If they raise the cry on her, they'll lose their chance for more, and she should have most of an hour before... Merida's mom sits calmly upon her bed, reading a blue-bound book. "Morning," she says, standing, as Merida's heart flies up into her throat. "I trust you rested well?" "Mom,
Merida windmills to a stop and surrenders, her pulse drumming confusion as her mom smiles and reaches to pat her head. "You've straw in your hair," Mom tells her. "Best get that out before the morning audiences." She clasps her hand before her, preparing to speak. And here it comes. "Your father and I noticed how taken you are with the young lady from Burke." Merida nods, chin and heart sinking. A princess must not forget her responsibilities, and a girl deserves to have friends. Merida looks up, feeling her eyes go round. "If you attend the daily morning sessions, Merida, and do all your lessons without fail, you may have from midday onwards with your new friend till the envoys depart."
"Mom! Oh, thank you!"
Merida hugs her mother, who gives her a squeeze, then claps her on the back. "That includes today. I'll see you at breakfast in half an hour." Flipping the sand glass, Mom retrieves her book and leaves Merida to do a dance of delight before she changes gowns and beats her hair into surrender. Thus, Merida and Roughnut go adventuring every day, whether racing Angus and Emberflake across the green, or deep into the light-flecked darkness of the woods, or up into the skies and over the mountain crags. They race 3 climbs up the firefalls. Merida wins twice and Roughnut once, but never climb down, as each time Roughnut whistles up Emberflake and leaps across empty air upon her back, then turns, grinning, and holds out her hands. Merida leaps too each time, through the streaming wind, and Roughnut catches her in solid arms. The summer flows along in companionable joy, till the acorns begin to fall from beneath reddening leaves, till the air grows crisp and the envoys begin to depart, bearing letters and gifts and treaties to their distant homes. Merida tells Roughnut of how, 3 years gone, she mostly accidentally had her mother enchanted into a bear. Roughnut demands to meet the witch, so they leave Emberflake to enjoy a roasted pig and ride Angus out into the woods. They find neither the witch's cottage nor the circle of standing stones, but when the blue glowing wisps come out to bob about their heads, Roughnut gasps and clutches Merida tightly, trembling against her back. Merida tilts her grin more bravely than she feels, tosses her head, and boldly follows the wisps where their light trails lead. A great mother oak rises from the forest gloom, long, gnarled limbs stretching across a rough circle of mulch and moss. Angus refuses to approach, so they dismount, folding their hands tightly together, and step beneath the oak's boughs. Roughnut tosses herself down in a hollow between 2 upthrust roots, and Merida sits astride one beside her and waits for the words they've both been dreading for over a week. "We're leaving soon," Roughnut says into the hush. "Maybe tomorrow or the next day. Garbage done haggling. The steel's all packed. Winter's on its way." "Aye," Merida murmurs, and Roughnut sits up, frowning as a storm cloud. "So that's it?" Roughnut folds her arms. "You don't care if I go?" "Of course I care." Merida waves her hands over her head. "But we have our duties. I can't just demand you stay." "You're the princess. You can demand what you want." "Would that I could." Merida laughs, throat tightening, and slides down to tuck her side against Roughnut's. "But I can't. Nor come with you," she adds, before Roughnut tempts her, and she can't refuse. "We have our duties," she repeats, echoing her mom's voice inside her head. Roughnut huffs, looking down. Then she looks up and presses her lips to Merida's. A kiss, a sweet shock. Merida gasps, and Roughnut pulls back, eyes wide and gleaming in the gloom. "That just won't do." "Again," Merida whispers. "Again, again." Until Roughnut grins, reaches for her with both arms, and kisses all the words from her mouth. They kiss and kiss, pressed tightly to each other, flame threading through warmth. Ruffnut touches her tongue to Merida's pleasure like a lightning strike. Merida whimpers, and Ruffnut laughs and does it again, pulling Merida to parry, stroke for tongue stroke, right hot nip for nip. Ruffnut pulls her arms back, but only to shrug from her vest and shove it up behind Merida's head. Merida tangles trembling fingers in Ruffnut's jerkin laces, working by a distracted feel as Ruffnut growls into their kiss. It loosens enough to push hands within, over Ruffnut's fevered skin, curving to reflexing back. And Ruffnut tugs at Merida's bodice, kisses her cheek and chin as in a ballad, lays a burning line of kisses down her throat, and uncovers her boobies and takes one in her slick hot mouth. Merida gasps again, and Ruffnut looks up. Searching her face, she realizes Ruffnut is making sure of her assent, and shapes her shocked mouth to a smile. Then all she can do is smile, when Ruffnut grins and rasps, I've flown this way too before, and returns to suckling at her, to pushing long hands up her thighs. Merida pushes off Ruffnut's helmet and digs her fingers into deep straw-yellow hair, clinging as she trembles, parting her thighs for Ruffnut's hands to stroke between them. Fire arcs through her, from tongue-flicked nipple to finger-flicked nub, and Merida arches up for more, closing her fists in Ruffnut's hair, shuddering into helpless cries as bottomless joy sweeps through her. Once and again and a third, all screams and writhes before Ruffnut lets her settle to landing. It's many heaving breaths, her heartbeat pounding in her ears, before Merida blinks open wet lashes to watch Ruffnut sucking her fingers, to hear her happy moan. Merida breathes once more, reaches and twists, rolling Ruffnut to her back. Teach me how, she demands, and Ruffnut opens her breeches and guides Merida's hand in as their mouths meet again. Ruffnut tastes muskier now, and Merida realizes, a sizzling shock going through her, that she's tasting herself. Ruffnut pulls back a little, but only to instruct. There, there, she murmurs over Merida's lips, arms round Merida's back, holding her close. Come on, harder, don't be... Oh, yes, like that. Merida groans from the sheer delight in Ruffnut's voice and kisses her again, the tongues tangled even as Ruffnut growls up into a tingling shriek, her thighs tightening on Merida's wrist. Merida keeps her strokes going as Ruffnut rocks into her moving touch, as Ruffnut digs fierce fingers into her back, shakes fit to come apart, and screams again for her, into her. A different note slips into Ruffnut's gasp, and Merida lets her up to breathe. Ruffnut slumps, and Merida tugs her hand loose, but only so she can lick her fingers curiously. Salt savor, musk, sharp honey. You taste good, Merida says, and Ruffnut's teeth shine in her soft laugh. You taste delicious, she answers, curling her fingers around Merida's wrist, drawing her down for another kiss. Her eyes have grown weary, her sinews unstrung, and when this kiss ends, Merida lays her heavy head on Ruffnut's jerkin-veiled breasts, pressing a kiss between them over her heart. Thank you, she murmurs, for taking me flying. And Ruffnut's chuckle sounds akin to a sob. Ruffnut's damp fingers curl tenderly over her cheek. Fall sinks to winter, winter rises to spring, and Merida grows and rides and dreams of flying with Ruffnut. The bad weather blows in and out by turns, until one fine day she's currying Angus when Hamish arrives, shouting, "Come to the audience hall! Quick, quick! We've an envoy months early! Quick!" Merida can barely do more than splash her hands and face with water and dust the worst of the horsehair off her dress before Hamish drags her by her elbow.
Kizion!
She protests, as he all but tosses her into the audience hall, where her parents sit smiling.
Where Roughnut stands, and turns and grins at Merida from beneath her four-horned helmet.
Hello, princess, Roughnut says, loud and bold.
And Merida's heels lift from the floor as she flies into Roughnut's outflung arms.
The end.
Where dark roots hide secrets, and mountains are fierce and